The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on June 14th, 2009, in Canberra, Australia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, text number 21. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad yad acharati shrestas tata devetaro jana seyat pramanam kurute Lokastadanuvartate. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of the Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures, like Manu Samhita and similar others, are considered the standard books to be followed by the human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, the world is missing this thing. The world is missing acharyas, ideal teachers. And therefore the entire human society is plunged into chaotic condition. Okay. Unless there are men of ideal character leading the society by their example, there's nothing you can do to create happiness in the world. Nothing. No amount of material facilities will make happiness. It's not possible. Without ideal acharyas to lead the society, then it will be based on greed, lust, anger, all the negative things will rule the day, you see. Whoever's more greedy, they will take the power. You see. And the people will suffer under such leadership. That's a fact. So Krishna is giving us the clue here how to solve the problems of the world. We simply have to have acharyas. So where are we going to get them? Are we going to import them from the third world? What will we do? No, we must become acharyas. That's the point. We must become acharyas. Ideal teachers. So how does one become? First you follow, you see. What do you follow? You follow the teachings of Krishna as given in Bhagavad Gita. Raja Vidya Rajyugo Yam Pavrittam Idamuttamam Pachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Katamavyagam. Chapter 9, text number 2. Krishna says, this knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So that is there. Krishna is giving us the perfect knowledge, the topmost wisdom, you see. So we simply have to study and follow these teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Become ideal men and women, following these instructions very carefully. And then automatically we become acharya. Acharya is not an elected post that somebody can be appointed as acharya. It is not an elected post. It is simply by qualifications. One who is ideal follower, they become ideal leader automatically. Doesn't matter, man, woman, old, young, even a child become an acharya. Just look at Prahlad Maharaj, you see. He is our spiritual master. Even in his boyhood, he is acting as acharya, you see. So, what we need is acharya. Prabhupada's vision of this movement was that we would have 10 million acharyas. That was his vision of ISKCON. He told us in Mayapur, 10 million acharyas. So that means we have to do it. We're not going to be able to hire them from a temp agency. We have to be the acharyas. By hearing very carefully these teachings, Bhagavad Gita, and by implementing them very, very carefully and sincerely, honestly in our lives, you see. With our every thought, our every word and our every deed in every time, every place, in every situation, 24 hours a day, you see. If we do that, then by the grace of Krishna and the previous acharyas, we will become acharyas, you see. And by our example, the whole world can be led out of chaos. So we need to have such acharyas, you see, on this planet. Otherwise, there's no hope. Everything will be finished. As the poet Yeats predicted many years ago, he wrote a poetry. He said, "Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." And that will be the situation if we don't have actually acharyas. The whole thing will gradually become more and more disintegrated. The whole world civilization will just disintegrate gradually into complete chaos. And that's predicted. It will happen. The end of Kali Yuga, total anarchy on this planet. There will be no law and order anywhere. Simply the law of the jungle will prevail, and it will be cannibalistic situation. Human beings eating human beings. That will be the situation at the end of Kali Yuga. But before you get depressed, the good news is there's a 10,000-year golden era which is predicted also in the scripture, and that began 500 years ago. And that is stated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Such jana durjana pangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dubaila jagatara jana. This Hare Krishna movement, you see, it is a tidal wave of Krishna prema, and it will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether they're lame, invalid, blind, pious or impious. Everyone will become inundated in this prema tsunami, this tidal wave of prema. So, how will that happen? When will that happen? That will happen when Prabhupada's instruction about 10 million acharyas becomes followed by the members of ISKCON. That's when it will happen, and not until then. If we have 10 million acharyas, I will create a prema tsunami, I guarantee you. 10 million acharyas on this planet will create a tidal wave of Krishna prema that will inundate the entire world. If we think, well, it's not me. All right. If we think that way, some future generation will get the credit for having saved the world. Not us, not our generation. Some future generation. But if you'd like that our generation, those who are present now on this planet, if you would like that we can get the credit for having saved the world, as Prabhupada ordered us to. He said, now you become guru and you deliver the world. His order to us. You see. If we want to have the credit for having successfully carried out Prabhupada's instruction, then we have to become acharyas. We can't do it by maintaining some quasi-Krishna conscious position, you know, one foot in the boat of Krishna and the other foot in the boat of Maya. You see. The boat of Maya is a sinking Titanic. Is it intelligent to keep one foot on the Titanic and the other foot in the lifeboat? It's a very unintelligent thing to do. You see? This material civilization is going down, that's a fact. This culture based on material sense gratification is going down. It's being defeated. So we should not be a part of this material sense gratification culture. We should be a part of the culture which is liberating us and everyone from this sinking civilization. So the Krishna consciousness movement is the lifeboat. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the lifeboat. We have to make it the lifeboat. But if we fight with each other, well, I will be the one that steers the rudder. We all fight with each other, but who's going to steer the rudder on the boat? We'll all end up in the water. So the devotees of this movement, we must not fight. Who will steer the rudder, you see? We should always let Prabhupada steer the rudder. That's all. He's the authority. His teaching should always be the guiding principle in the society, you see. Let Prabhupada always be the rudder man on the boat, you see. Let his teachings always be the guiding principle of how this lifeboat of ISKCON will chart the material ocean. We always take Prabhupada's instructions as the guiding principle. It will never go wrong. There'll be no fighting. we'll get along perfectly as a loving family of brothers and sisters, you see, under the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And this lifeboat can expand to include every single living entity in the world. The whole world can be saved. Or even if we just save 1%, Prabhupada, that's sufficient, you see, to completely turn history upside down. If we can just get 1% of the population Krishna conscious, a Vedic age will come back. You see. The leading thinkers become Krishna conscious, you see. Scholars, philosophers, academicians, they will influence the politicians also. If we can just get the leading class, the thinkers and the leaders, the political leaders, if we can just get them lined up with Krishna consciousness, that is sufficient. The general mass of population then will take advantage of the wonderful atmosphere created by the leading class, you see. The Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. We don't need... Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Gornitai Ki Jai. So we are meant to be the Brahmins, the Brahmin class, the intellectual class. So we have to qualify ourselves by carefully studying these books, by carefully following these instructions. And then we become qualified as acharyas who can lead this world out of chaotic condition. So, this is the request of Srila Prabhupada. I'm passing it on to you, that you become an ideal devotee of Krishna. That is his request. He ordered me to become a pure devotee. That was his instruction, personal instruction from Prabhupada to me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. In other words, just being a well-respected devotee in the movement is not really enough. You have to go beyond that level of social respectability. That's not enough. One has to come to the point of being qualified to see Krishna face to face, you see. That's when you've attained it, you see, where you need to get. When you can actually see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. You become completely pure in heart, you see. Just to have all the devotees say, oh yeah, he's a real nice devotee. That's great. That's a good beginning. But go from there to the point of complete purity of consciousness. That's where Prabhupada wants us to go. That's where we need to go. If we're going to become fully satisfied, and if we're going to be able to do our duty to lead this planet out of chaotic condition, that's where we have to go. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
The one prediction is at the end of Kali Yuga, man will be eating man.
Yes.
And there will be scarcity of the grains and all vegetation. But on the other hand, we're expecting 10 million acharyas. So what will be the situation like?
Those acharyas will all go back to, be all back in the spiritual world, Prabhupada. He said, all my followers will be back with Krishna at that time. He says, those who are not, he said, jokingly, he said, they will see the fun. Or sarcastically, he said like that. He told Allen Ginsberg, that poet, that hippie poet, he had a talk with him about it. Those who join this movement, they will be back with Krishna. And those who do not, they will see the fun. So-called fun. When your neighbor invites you over for dinner, guess who's the dinner? You. Coming over for dinner. Actually, it's already happened. In Fiji Islands, it happened, you see. The natives, the Christian missionaries come, and the Fijians invite them over for dinner. And they had them for dinner. Actually, it's happened already. They used to call it the Cannibal Islands. But the whole planet will be like that. It would be a cannibalistic society. Men will be reduced to pygmies, like in the African jungle. And if you live to be 22 years old, you're a senior citizen. That's how it'll be. 22-year-old person will be a senior citizen. It'll be a very heavy time. And Kalki Avatar will come on his white horse with a big, huge, sharp sword, and he'll just decimate them and bring in the next Satya Yuga. So it's better to go back to Godhead now instead of seeing that kind of fun. It's not my idea of fun. I'd rather be chanting and dancing and feasting than having my head, you know, having my head cut off by Kalki Avatar. There will be a few devotees left at that time, but they'll be in great fear, hiding out in caves, you see, for fear of their of being eaten alive.
Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Harinam will be there in every corner of the world.
For 10,000 years it'll inundate, and then gradually it will disappear. That's what's going to happen, yeah. It will increase. This 10,000 year period, it will increase to flood the whole world, and then it'll gradually disappear. And after 10,000 years finished, Govardhan will disappear completely. It'll shrink completely. You won't see Govardhan at all. Now we can still see Govardhan, you see. It was cursed by that Pulasya Muni to sink one mustard seed every day, you see. But that time, Govardhan will be completely gone. Jamuna will be dried up. No Jamuna River anymore. No Govardhan and full-fledged Kali Yuga. It's not going to be a pleasant time. But in the we have a 10,000-year period where we can create a Satya Yuga atmosphere on this planet. So we should take, instead of getting depressed about the end, we should make a wonderful Satya Yuga now. We can do that. We can push back the influence of the age of Kali now by becoming Acharyas, ideal Acharyas, you see. To the extent that we appear, to that extent, we have the power to change the world. So we have to become very, very pure. And then we can change the world, that's a fact. Any other questions? Yes.
I was just wondering what you thought the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is.
The essence of the Bhagavad Gita is given by Krishna and by Srila Prabhupada as Sarvadharman Padipyajo Maam Ekam Sharanam Vrajo Ahang Tvang Sarvapapebhyo Mokshiyashami Mahashucha. Abandon all other duties, all other considerations, and simply fully surrender to me. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. You don't have to worry about anything. Krishna is saying that. Prabhupada has told us that one verse is the essence of the Gita. So you have to think, how can I surrender fully? That means not what I want, what does Krishna want at every minute. I should, my thoughts, my words, and my deeds in all times, all places, and all circumstances should be those sorts of thoughts, words, and deeds which please Krishna, not me. Of course, the insider secret is that's how you really become, how you really will become pleased. In the beginning, you may think, oh, I can't enjoy anymore. I have to give up the things that I enjoy doing and just do the things that Krishna enjoys. I certainly will be miserable if I do that. I see. That's how a materialist will think. But the fact is, just as the hand doesn't try to enjoy the food directly but gives the food to the stomach, and then the hand actually enjoys the food through the nutritional, through the blood system, you see, the bloodstream. So in other words, making Krishna the primary enjoyer, then you become the secondary enjoyer, and actually the secondary enjoyer enjoys equally with the primary enjoyer. You will find that if you always do that which pleases Krishna, leaving aside what pleases you, then your pleasure will expand millions of times over what you would have had if you just tried to enjoy separately without trying to please Krishna. So a devotee never is the loser. His happiness expands millions and billions of times over what he could have enjoyed if he tried to enjoy separately from Krishna. Any other questions?
Well,
I got three people in a row, all the hands went up. Zip! Well, let's take him first.
As per Srila Prabhupada, what are the qualities of a perfect acharya?
The qualities of an acharya?
Yes.
Well, there are many lists. There are two lists specifically that I'm thinking of. One is the list, the Brahmin's qualities. All the qualities of a Brahman, they are there in the Acharya. Shamadamastapa shocham, chantirajivamayivacha, jnanam viganamastikam, bhamakarna savavajam. He controls his senses, he controls his mind. He's austere, he's clean, he's tolerant. He's knowledgeable, he's realized, he's honest, and he has full faith in the scriptures. These are the qualities of Brahmins, you see. And then there's another list, which I haven't memorized yet, 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. But if you send me an email, I can send you that list. Just go to sda@backtohome.com, and I'll send you the list of the 26 qualities. Tell me again. Louder. Oh, the Sri Ishopanishad also mentions, yeah. But I know those two lists, that the Brahman's list is a very good starting point, and then it expands even further, the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. That will give you the full... The Brahman is, you know, the prerequisites for being an Acharya, and then when you go on to the details, that's listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 26 qualities of pure of Vaishnava. That's the detailed list. He's friendly to all living entities. He's merciful. He's poetic. He becomes naturally poetic. Actually, everyone is poetic. But when you become a pure devotee of Krishna, then the natural poetic qualities come out. Just like Prabhupada, he was poetry in motion. Every word was poetry. Every gesture was poetry. The way he held his head was poetry. The way he looked, the way he smiled, everything was poetic about Srila Prabhupada. Everything was poetry. So that's another quality of an Acharya. He's just perfect. His style of everything is perfect. It's perfect in every way. You know, like the greatest movie star you would ever see, you know. The most amazing person. He has all perfect qualities. Everything about him is perfect. See, that's Acharya. So he's also expert. He's expert at everything. Everything he's very expert. Prabhupada's disciples got cheated sometimes by cunning businessmen. Prabhupada would come in and he'd get the money back. He says, I was a Calcutta boy, you know. He couldn't be cheated. Prabhupada knew how to deal with cheaters. He was very expert. In Bombay, the one man, you may have heard about Mr. Nair. He was a very cunning businessman. He had one very nice property there near Juhu Beach. He would sell the property, and through legal tricks, he would take the down payment from the person, then he would take the property back and keep the down payment. He did that to one person. He did that again and again and again to many different people. He was a very cunning businessman. He would take the down payment and keep the land and never get the money back. He was ripping off one person after another. But when he met Prabhupada, he met his match. Prabhupada defeated him and got the property. So that's another quality. The Vaishnava Acharya is perfect in every way. He's expert in everything. You can't defeat him. Prabhupada told us in Africa, he said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. See, you can't defeat him with any philosophical argument. He's perfect in knowledge and in realization. Not that he knows the verses by heart, but he actually realizes the purport. He realizes the full import of all the Shastic wisdom. See, that's an Acharya. He understands, he has practical realization of how to apply the Shastras perfectly in every situation. So these are some of the qualities of an Acharya. And you can achieve these if you will take this process seriously to follow the instructions that Prabhupada is giving. You can achieve these qualities. There's no reason you can't. Read these books and follow these books and you will become an Acharya. You got a question?
Maharaj, I was reading one of the articles by you in which you mentioned that ISKCON is not made of buildings, ISKCON is not made of vehicles or bank balances. ISKCON is made of six loving relationships amongst the devotees. Because bank balances, buildings, they can be confiscated, but if the loving relationship is there, his call will continue, but if he's not there, if he's going to get...
So what's the question? The
question is like, if you can explain what are the six loving relationships and how...
Yes, Rupa Goswami gives these six loving exchanges, and these are very important things because this is the real meaning of our movement. Our movement is strong only to the extent that between ourselves we engage in these six loving exchanges. If we stop engaging in these six loving exchanges with each other, then the movement is dead. Even if the buildings are there and there are people in the buildings, the movement is dead. So the actual meaning of this movement is the six loving exchanges being engaged in by the members throughout the world. And they are to, one, give gifts to the devotees. You see? You give a gift to the devotees, you see. Another is you accept gifts from the devotees. If a devotee gives you a gift, then you very graciously accept it. In a humble, appreciative way, you appreciate when the devotee gives you a gift. The next item is you reveal your heart to the devotee. You don't hold things pent up inside you. You find, if there's things in your heart which need to be revealed, you find a devotee you can trust, and you openly reveal your heart to that devotee. And then, you also hear when devotees reveal to you, just like now, I'm revealing my realizations to all of you, you see. I'm giving you my love, or actually it's Krishna's love, I'm just a delivery person. But I'm giving you love by revealing my heart to you. And you're giving me love by opening your heart to hear me reveal my heart to you. This is called loving exchange. Right now we're having loving exchange, you see. And the third item, which everyone likes a lot, is, you know, accepting prasadam from the devotees and giving prasadam to the devotees. Everyone's looking forward to that. Prasadam time. That's the other loving exchange. Those who serve the prasadam, they get special mercy of getting to serve prasadam to all the devotees. You see, the servers get, they get the most prasadam of all. Because the foodstuffs, that's one type of prasadam. But serving the devotees' prasadam, that is even more delicious prasadam. That's the most delicious prasadam. So those who serve the devotees, they know this insider secret that the sweetest prasadam of all, even better than the gulab jamuns, is serving prasadam to the devotees and making sure all the devotees are satisfied. I can never forget one time I was in Mumbai, our temple there, Juhu Temple, many years ago. Back in the early 80s, I was a brahmachari then, sitting there, and at that time, the temple president, Giriraj Maharaj, I was really amazed. I was sitting there taking prasadam, and he came up to me in a very sweet, loving voice. He said, "Is there anything else I can bring for you?" I couldn't believe it. Prabhupada glorified him so much, he said, "Giriraj is Bombay, and Bombay is Giriraj." I mean, he was a big leader in our movement. Big, huge leader, you see. And he came up to me in a humble, humble voice. I couldn't believe it. "Is there anything else I can bring for you?" In a very sweet, affectionate way. It was one of the most powerful lessons I ever got, was Giriraj Maharaj coming up in that way, offering to serve me prasadam, you see. So this activity of serving the Vaishnavas, you see, it's a very wonderful opportunity to get the blessings of Krishna. Because the more we serve devotees, the more Krishna becomes pleased. So those who are intelligent, they rush for the opportunity to be servers during the feast. They rush for that opportunity to be one of the servers. Because they know this is how you get the sweetest of all the prasadam. It's by serving the devotees. So these are the six loving exchanges. Now you had a question? All right.
In this connection,
If you're always engaged in loving exchange, there's no room for quarrel, is there?
But since we are born and brought up, eating all the.
But what's more pleasant? What is more pleasant, a loving relationship or a quarreling relationship? What do you like better? Yeah. So you just make sure that you're always engaged in loving activities 24 hours a day, and there's no room for quarrel. You squeeze out the quarrel by putting love in its place, you see. Make sure that you're always having loving dealings with all the Vaishnavas 24 hours a day, you know, all of your thoughts, words, and deeds. And then where is the scope for quarrel? There's no room for Kali. Kali, you'll have to go somewhere else. You come to the Kali will come to the hotel of your heart looking for a room, and but there'll be a big sign on your heart that says, no vacancy. He'll have to go to the hotel next door, that hotel across the street over there, to look for some place to take residence, you see. Kali is he is quarrel personified, you see. And he's always looking how to get in your heart and make you fight with somebody. That's his great pleasure, sadistic pleasure, you see. So he's specially targeting ISKCON because it's threatening his age, you see. ISKCON is a threat to Kali because ISKCON has the power to completely send him into remission and bring a Satya Yuga in. He doesn't feel like taking 10 years off, you see, 10,000 years off. Kali Yuga doesn't want to do that. So he's really making an attempt to keep the devotees in ISKCON fighting, you see. He has a vested interest in making sure that there's as much fighting as possible in ISKCON. That's his goal, you see. So how do we protect ourselves from Kali's influence? By always have lanya exchanges. Always behave in a loving way with the devotees. You see, even if it seems artificial, just do it anyway. And by doing that, it'll feel natural. Always behave in a loving way with the devotees. You see, and then Kali will have to go somewhere else to find his fun. You know, not to go somewhere else. He won't find it in this day. Okay, you had a question. Now you're the third one in the line.
Guruji, how to keep the enthusiasm of being Krishna conscious 365 days?
Say it again, you got drowned out by a little screamer there.
How to keep the enthusiasm?
Oh yes, how to keep the enthusiasm. Okay. Well, I have a very good... That little kid should stay in the room, but just bounce him on your knee a little bit. We want all the children to stay here and get the mercy of hearing. There's no need to take them out. Just kind of bounce them up and down a little bit and pacify them, and they'll calm down and plug into the sound vibrations. So anyway, I have a very good technique for always being enthusiastic. This is my personal technique, but I'll pass it on to you. When I joined this movement, I had the good fortune of being recruited by one of the most enthusiastic preachers in the history of ISKCON, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswamy. And Vishnujana Maharaj instilled within my heart the enthusiasm for spreading this movement, you see, revolutionizing the planet, you see. By his association, it was always that mood. How can we spread the movement? How can we spread the movement? That was it. Every minute, that was the vibration in his presence, you see. So when I wrote Prabhupada, actually I got initiated by letter, and Vishnujana Maharaj did the yajna. So normally you just turn your Guru Dakshina in, you see. Just like now when I initiate new disciples, you know, after this ceremony they collect the Dakshina at the Yajna and they come to my room and they hand me the Dakshina, you see. But now my spiritual master was all the way in London or somewhere. Here I was in Texas. How do you turn in the Dakshina? Well, it's great. It's a great opportunity. I get to write Prabhupada a letter along with my Dakshina. So this is a great opportunity. I told Prabhupada along with that I was eager to spread this movement. And he really picked up on that. He was so pleased. He really, really, really appreciated that. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now if you will continue enthusiastically as you were doing, Krishna will surely bless you. So what is the disciple supposed to do when he gets an order from the spiritual master? Is he supposed to obey that order or just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other? Supposed to obey the order? Yeah. So I thought, well, here's a direct order from Prabhupada that I have to always be enthusiastic. Now I can tell you, I've been in this movement for 38 years and there's been a lot of things going on, that's come down the tubes. It wouldn't always be something that would make you enthusiastic. You know what I mean? There's been the good, the bad, and the beautiful, and the ugly in the history of our movement. So, but I had always said Prabhupada's order there, you see. No matter what happens, Prabhupada's order is reverberating in my heart. It's echoing in my heart for 38 years, you see. It came in, it's been echoing ever since. Continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I decided to hold on to that order, you know, as my life and soul. Always be enthusiastic. And you know what? It works. I felt for the last 38 years how Krishna is constantly showering his mercy upon me. Just by holding on to that one simple instruction from Srila Prabhupada and never giving it up, you see. So, now I'm going to give you the blessing. You should always continue enthusiastically, and surely Krishna will bless you. You see. If you will simply hold on to that order, which I'm just passing on to you from Srila Prabhupada, you see, then you will always feel the blessings of Krishna at every minute showering upon you, and you'll never become depressed or discouraged in any situation. And anybody else who wants the order, you can have it too. I'll pass it on to you too. If you want it, you got it. Yeah. Yeah.
May we please hear about your first meeting with Prabhupada?
What is it?
Your first meeting with Prabhupada.
Oh. Actually, I'm still at my first meeting with Prabhupada. It's been going on for 38 years. Because there are two presences of the spiritual master. There's Vani and Vapu. Which one of them did Prabhupada say was more important? The Vani. He isn't teaching. So I met Prabhupada even before I saw Prabhupada. Prabhupada entered in my heart one day when I was vacuuming the temple room rug in Austin, Texas. Stubbornly holding on to my idea of remaining independent. Yeah, I'll be a devotee of Krishna, but I won't become a disciple of the spiritual master. Stubbornly holding on to that idea, you see. We see many people in ISKCON, they come around for years, they say, I'm a devotee of Krishna, they chant japa, but they don't want to take a guru. It's the same mentality, you see. I had that mentality. I'll be a devotee, but not a disciple. Because disciple, that's too heavy, you know. So, I was vacuuming the temple room rug, and we had just gotten that album. It had just been released by George Harrison's Apple Records, you see, the Beatles' Apple Records. That Radha Krishna Temple album. We play the first cut every day for the greeting of the deities. Now the second cut, if you've heard the album, is the Gravastikam prayers, sung by the London devotees. Samsaradava nalalita loka pranayakar yunaganaganatvam praptasya kalyana gunanavasya vande guru shi charanavindam. You know that one. Yeah. So, there I was vacuuming the temple room rug, stubbornly holding on to my idea that I will be a devotee but not a disciple. But I was hearing these devotees, these disciples, you see, who had gone a step beyond me to actually become disciples. I was hearing the love for Prabhupada in their voice, you know, the love in their hearts was coming through their voices. You understand what I mean? And I understood they were in a different state of consciousness than me. They were experiencing a sweet nectar which I didn't have access to. And that nectar just kind of, even though I had that steel-framed heart, the nectar was so powerful it found a few cracks in my steel-framed heart. And a little bit of that nectar snuck into my heart, you see. And I said, wouldn't it be beautiful? Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And I just started crying. Actually, Prabhupada entered my heart at that minute. That's when I met him. And then I knew, yeah, I'll be a disciple. Yes, I want to be a disciple. I told the devotees, yes. Then I had to wait for 6 months. They all got initiated, and I had to sit on the bench and just watch them all get initiated. There's a strict rule, 6 months, you see. But it happened in due course. 2 months later, about maybe 6 weeks after they got their diksha, the other devotees, and I got mine too by letter from London. So that's when I met Prabhupada. That moment when I heard his disciples singing his glories with such love in their hearts, Prabhupada was actually present in that vibration, glorifying him. And that vibration, Prabhupada was actually present in the vibration of Gavastakam. He was in the vibration of Gavastakam, and he entered into my heart through the vibration of Gavastakam prayers from the mouths of his disciples. And that's when I met him. Then later on, I met him physically in the Vapu form. But that was not as significant as when I met him in the Vani. The Vani was the most powerful, significant meeting, because that was completely transformed my eternal existence. That was the main meal, you could say, and then that was the rice dal, chapatis and sabji, and then meeting him face to face was the glob jam at the end of the meal. Now I've had the meal. Now it's time for the glob jam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were. Prabhupada was coming to Rath Yatra in LA, at San Francisco. Yeah. And so we were. Vishnujaya Maharaj went. And he said we should all follow him. He went with the advance party. He said the rest of you should come later on. It was all arranged. But then there was some problem with the landlord. And our GVC said, well, they should all stay back because there's a problem with the landlord. I wanted to meet Prabhupada, So I was tormented. Well, you're not supposed to disobey the GBC, but I want to see Prabhupada. So I was going back and forth. Now, to heck with the GBC, I'm just going to hitchhike and go out and meet Prabhupada, But the devotees said, back to so-and-so, you can't do that, you have to obey the GBC. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll stay back. Oh, it was killing me. I agreed to surrender to the GBC because I knew Prabhupada wanted us to do that. But it was killing me. I tell you, it was killing me. But then Vishnujaya Maharaj heard the GBC told us to stay back because of the problem of the landlord. He called up the GBC and said, they don't know how to deal with the landlord. I'm the only one who can do that. Let them come. They can't even solve that problem anyway. They're just a bunch of new bhaktas. They don't know how to deal with a landlord problem. So he said, all right, and we all came. So it was really ecstatic. We got to see Prabhupada. He landed at the airport, in San Francisco airport. There were like 300 devotees singing and dancing. He was one of the last people to come off the plane. We were waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And all these people, they come through a wall, like a tunnel of dancing and singing devotees. 300, they come off the plane into a tunnel of 300 devotees. In the middle of a huge kirtan, they come off the airplane. They're going, what's going on here, Well, of course, in San Francisco in those days, the hippie movement, there was all kinds of wild things always happening in San Francisco. So I guess they figured it was natural for San Francisco. But finally, there he was, Jagad Guru, the spiritual master of the universe. He was so short. But yet he was the tallest man in the whole universe. That was my first impression when I saw him. He's so physically so sure, but actually he's the tallest man, Jagad Guru. He's the biggest, most powerful man in the whole universe, but yet he's physically so small. That was my first, when I saw him, I was amazed. He's so short, but yet he's the most powerful man in the whole universe, you see. And then Prabhupada taught us a very good lesson. He walked through the terminal out to, where the cars come up to pick up the passengers. There was no vehicle. The devotees had spaced it out. There was no vehicle to pick up Prabhupada. So did Prabhupada start yelling at us? Well, he could have, But actually, Prabhupada didn't. And there's pictures of this. I can show you photographs of this pastime. Prabhupada is standing there very peacefully, just like an aristocratic gentleman, He's standing very peacefully like this. Not a word, just standing. And all the devotees are in a circle. Prabhupada was the cynosure of all eyes. We were all standing and looking at Prabhupada. Everybody, 300 devotees are standing there looking at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is standing there silently. It was an amazing pastime. So that was my first meeting. And then we didn't hear a word from him. But then the car finally came. It took him to the Rathayatra site directly from the airport. He got up on Subhadra's cart, the third cart, you know, in the parade. And he gave a speech. It was a wonderful, wonderful speech. The very first word that came out of his mouth, you'll be very happy, especially here in Canberra, you'll be very happy to hear the first word that came out of his mouth, Jagannath. He said, Jagannath Shami, Nayana Padagami, Bhava Tume. Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. He gave the most wonderful lecture. There was many non-devotees there. There were thousands of non-devotees also. He gave a most wonderful lecture. He said, every day you are drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, if every time you drink the water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water. I'll hold, since it's his question, I'll hold so he can hear. Give him some water. Prabhupada said, every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water, like this little boy, he's drinking the water. If every time you drink water, you'll remember that Krishna is the taste of the water. Krishna is the taste of the water. Krishna. You just tasted Krishna. Yes. If you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, this is a good way to keep your kids quiet. Just give them some water, you see. It's Krishna. Here, have some Krishna, Sunil, you know, like that. He said, if you just remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious, it is not a difficult job, simply requires practice. And this way he gave a nice talk. And he told us also the little esoteric thing. He said, this Rathayatra is the mood of the gopis bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So now let us proceed with Jagannath Swami. So then we all proceeded to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. It was the most wonderful experience with Prabhupada and about 30,000 people. It was an incredible festival. 30,000 people. It was humongous. Humongous crowd was there. That was the height of the countercultural days. Hippies came all the way from Texas to attend that festival. 2,000 miles. That's wider than Australia, I think. It was a tremendous festival. And then Prabhupada gave another lecture at the festival site. But that lecture he gave, that was the sweetest. That was my first time to, you know, be in Prabhupada's presence and hear him speak. And I tell you, it was incredible. Of course, that speech is in the Vedabase. Anybody can read it if they want. It's right there in the Vedabase. Just look up festivals and Rathayatra Festival 1971 and you can read it yourself. It's a wonderful, wonderful lecture. So our time has run out. Actually, I could go a little overtime because I was supposed to be able to start at 6:10. So I can maybe squeeze a little bit more in with your permission, Prabhu. All right. We're running short on time anyway. One more question? Huh? Come make lighter. What did she say?
The children are getting restless.
Huh? The children are putting a time is up thing on it. Oh, do you children agree if I give a little? Let's ask the children. I'd like to ask all the children. Can I speak for a little bit longer? If you will listen to me very carefully, I will go for a few more minutes. Do you children agree or not? Tell me. Can I speak for a few more minutes? If you all will sit very, very quietly and listen, I will speak for a few minutes longer. Do I have your permission, children? Huh? And what about the mothers? I have their permission? Yes?
The fathers are ready to look after the kids. Mataji's are ready.
Huh?
If the fathers are ready to take care of the kids, Mataji's are ready.
The fathers have a responsibility also. I mean, they impregnated the mother after all, so they have to take a responsibility too. not just to put it all on the lady, you know. The man has to take responsibility too. Yes. Just see how affectionately Prabhupada's father, Gormahande, took care of him, you see. So much love and affection Gormahande gave to Abhay, that little Abhay Charan, you see. That's very important. Fathers have to also give loving affection to the children. So, that being said, is it one last question? Anyone? No. All right.
You're talking about great leaders before. I have a question. Say a devotee was in the government and they had to make this decision. There's all feral animals that are destroying the environment. What would someone that's Krishna conscious do if people wanted to shoot the animals or they wanted to protect the environment? What should someone do if they're Krishna conscious in regards to feral animals and the environment?
If there was a question of the environment versus the animals, for example, what would be an example?
Well, in Australia we have feral animal problems and they're destroying the environment.
Oh, the animals are destroying the environment. So they wondered, how many animals do they
shoot? They want to kill the animals.
How many do they want to kill?
A million animals.
A million animals. What species?
Camels. Camel.
There's camels here?
Yeah, over a million camels in the desert.
They wanted to wipe out all the camels in the desert.
Because they're destroying the ground.
Because they're destroying the grass. That's a rather... I'd have to see more information before I could answer that question very expertly.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Can
you just repeat a bit of noise? Yes, we couldn't hear the question. What was the question?
My question was... If you found yourself in a government position to make the decision, there's feral animals all throughout Australia, and you have to make a decision either to kill the animals or come up with another... what someone to do, and I was trying to find out what the Krishna conscious thing to do for feral animals was.
So, to kill the animals, or to save the grass, or to find some other solution. Well, the politicians should know that if they do kill the animals, they ought to take birth as camels and be killed. But the camels will become politicians, and the politicians will become camels, and they will kill those politicians in the future. If they don't mind becoming a camel and being killed with the same camel that killed them, then they can go ahead and kill the camel. Because they'll get that's the reaction, you see. So if they don't want to become camels and be killed by the very same camels that killed them, then they should find some other solution. Why is there a shortage of grass? Because there's a shortage of rain. Right? If there was profuse rain, there'd be no problem, right? Right? The grass shortage is because there's a shortage of rain. If the rain is there, there'll be enough grass to feed the camels and to feed the people too. The real problem is not an overabundance of camels. The problem is a shortage of rain. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text number 14, Anadbhavanti bhutani parjanyo anasambhavaha jagadbhaviti parjanyo yagya karma sambhudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on fruit grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yagya, sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. So, the reason there's a problem to begin with is the shortage of rain, and the shortage of rain is due to the lack of performance of yagya. And the yajna for this age is the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So the real solution is not killing the camels. The real solution is get all those politicians out on the streets singing and dancing. Hare Krishna mantra. Get the whole Australian nation out singing and dancing in the streets. Hare Krishna, any names of God. The Muslims can chant Allah, the Christians can chant Jesus. We have no objection. But get everybody out singing and dancing the holy names of God on a regular basis, at least once a week. At least once every week, you see. Actually, Prabhupada said I remember reading somewhere that there should be, during the lunch hour, there should be sankirtan and prasadam profusely distributed for all the workers, you see. So if everywhere, We have this sankirtan going on a daily basis. Prasad distribution, the holy name. I guarantee you we won't have these problems. The problem is they're not doing yajna. They're not chanting the holy names of God. That's the problem. Killing the camels is just going to make it worse. Just going to make it worse. Yeah.
If we are not able to do that, but in the end we all have freedom to make our own choice. I had one situation many years ago when I was a scientist. One of my colleagues was given a new role to perform, to bleed the rabbit. And that was against his consciousness. He refused to do that and he quit the job. So if we are put in a situation where we have to kill the animals, you know, nobody can force us. We can make the decision not to do it. If we cannot change the general public and politicians, at least we can make the right decision ourselves.
Yeah, no one can force you to do that. You can always, Krishna will maintain you. If you try to always serve Krishna in all circumstances, you quit your job, Krishna will give you some other means of livelihood. That's the thing.
Should we end here now? Any more urgent question now? Otherwise, we can take up the questions with Narad later on, during the Shavan afterwards, tomorrow, for who is here. And day after, also the police are program, like I mentioned earlier, please come. Take any remaining questions you have, come prepared and ask all those questions tomorrow, starting at 6:30.
Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.